more dangerous. Some accept everything they hear outside just because it is not being taught on the inside. A snake inside the house is just as dangerous as one outside if you don't have your guard up against it. Steve Lumley is one of those snakes who lives outside the church system, waiting to deceive and kill God's children spiritually, who can see clearly the error on the inside, but are not watching for the gross error on the outside. He has personally chosen to bring himself and others who blindly follow him under the curse God will place on those who curse the apple of his eye, the Jewish people of all time, and the Jewish people who currently and rightfully inhabit the land of Israel. Thank you. That's all I had.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Kim. I missed most of it on the recording, unfortunately, so only the last bit will be on the recording. But that was good work. Thank you. Anybody else in the room here before we start? Okay. Well, I think the guys here have something to share. I don't know who all has something to share. I know Joey does. I think Mom does. I don't know if Cameron does. But whoever is in the house, you want to go first. Whoever wants to go first, step up. And don't all run at once. Okay, here's Cameron. Cameron has something he wants to share.
Hi, everybody. All right, well, I'd like to share with you what I saw last week when I went on break at McDonald's. I saw on the television, I believe it was on CNN News, a guy was talking and saying, "Watch out, America. Muslim terrorism is coming to a city near you." He said Christians especially need to watch out. Am I really seeing what I'm seeing? Not that I disregard what Dan has already told us, but it was the fact that I was actually watching this on the big screen. It made it very real to me just how close to the end we really are. I was thinking just how many people are not ready spiritually and physically for this. I watched the kids at McDonald's as they literally worship sex and drugs, some of them being only minors. If only these kids knew what was coming. Is this going to change for them, though? No, I think the Bible says that people will be willingly ignorant. I want to take this one step further, so hang on with me, guys. Let's forget about the unsaved people, let's talk about Christians. I would like to talk about our most recent case, about a young, rather arrogant Baptist guy whom we tried to knock some sense into. This guy knew his Bible inside and out, or so he thought he did. That was until Dan started asking him what he thought some verses meant. I couldn't believe what some of his answers were. This guy believes that we do not have a free will, and also believes that once we are saved, you are an overcomer, that is it. You will not have your name blot out of the book of life. So Dan asked him about John 15, verses 4 through 6, which talks about Christians that are abiding in Christ to bear the fruit, lest we be cut off from the vine. Dan asked this guy, why was Jesus warning us Christians that we could be cut off if we are eternally secure? To which his answer was rather shocking. He said, those people are not Christians and are not abiding in the vine. Ignorant indeed. Dan and the rest of us tried and tried to help him, but it was hopeless. He is only 19 years old and injected to the max with wrong doctrine. If only he knew how wrong his doctrine is and how short his time is. So let's ask ourselves, guys, are we ready? Are we going to be able to give up our comfort zone, our homes, and our families when the Muslims are dragging us out of our homes, butchering us like animals, just because we are Christians? We must have a solid foundation in Christ to be able to stand the upcoming tribulation. No more games. Alright, well, that's all I had to share. Thanks, guys.
Amen. Thank you, Cameron. Oh, yes, alrighty. Good word there, Cameron. Amen. You got something there, Seth? Come on. Seth's up next.
Thank you, Dan. Hi, everyone. Lots been going on the past week here, and wanted to share a little bit about that. I know Dan has talked many times about how Satan never fights fair, but either I personally didn't believe it, and or I never knew just how dirty he will fight. For myself, the Lord had pointed out some issues that needed to be dealt with, but at the same time, the enemy was right there trying to imitate the light, and I am ashamed to say that, or say, would have won had it not been for the help of Mama and Dan. I even knew the verse in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, that says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." To me, meaning he will give you thoughts that seem right and religious, but that the end, but they end up taking you down the wrong path. Even when you are down and feeling low, Satan will go out and give you a good kick and try to prove that you are too late to do anything about it. Then there are times he tries to overwhelm you with all kinds of thoughts just to see if you will accept one, which he then takes advantage of and runs with it for as long as you let him. Being here in PA I have also been able to watch these kinds of things happen, but sad to say it, I still wasn't prepared for just how unfair the fight would be. It reminds me of something Dan and Mama say. If you are trying to walk in the high calling, you have a big target on you. I pray with the Lord's help that next time I will be more prepared for the battle. Well, that was it. Back to Dan.
That was it? Okay. Thank you. Good for you. Amen. Okay, we got who? Okay, we got Jamie. Jamie's back.
Hi, everyone. Let's see. We got Jan, Lisa, Kim. Let's see. Is that everybody here? I'm looking.
Yes, all four.
Yeah, all four. just wanted to say hello to Andrew and Megan Kamens. Good evening. Here finally permanently in Pennsylvania. And it's so wonderful. And this is totally off the cuff, by the way. I was unprepared, hoping to be in the Pal Talk room next week. We were hoping tonight, but had some problems with the internet. So it's a blessing to be invited over here to share. I just wanted to let everybody know we are here finally and here permanently. The Lord's been doing a work in myself personally and in my family, and It's been a bumpy ride, but it's one that I would not trade the whole world for. And Lord's been good, and I'm hoping in the next few weeks that I'll be able to share what exactly some of those things that the Lord's been working into my life. And of course, Dan and Mama have been just a tremendous amount of help. And before I left here, finishing up the girls' dorm a few weeks ago, Mama had shared that it's time again for me to get my mind on the Lord's return and becoming a son. And the messages, like Kim said, that Joey's been giving, and Mama and Dan, has just been such an encouragement. And looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in the weeks to come, and I'm definitely excited about his soon and coming return and what's going to be happening here in the earth. I think things are going to be getting rough here soon, and looking forward to that. And so I just wanted to say hello to everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. I'll give it back to Dan here.
Amen. Thank you, Jamie. Jamie's got prayer last night. So he's got to get settled in. All right. I actually didn't have any songs tonight. I was working on some things this weekend for my website and some things, so I didn't get any songs tonight. And I was going to play something for you guys, a tape. I feel it's very timely for those of us who are trying to walk in high calling and gain the prize. This brother had a good word on valuing the call, valuing our call. And I thought I'd play it for you guys tonight. It's about 58 minutes, not quite an hour, I don't think. If nobody has anything to share, I'm just going to play that for you. Okay? Give me a second here, okay?
Praise God. The Lord is asking questions of us constantly. Where's our commitment? He's asking us, where's the level of our spirituality? He's asking us what level of practice we're involved in as far as our witness and testimony. It's a very proper question. Because the truth is, the jury is about to come back in with a verdict. Who are the people of God? Who are those who are His true witnesses in the earth? And so it's very proper that we listen carefully during these days to the questions the Lord's asking. I hear it in every convention. I hasn't failed in many years. The same question comes around over and over. That is, why don't you listen to me? I heard it a lot in this convention. Why don't you listen to me? You can't do well to obey if you don't listen well. We had a little boy on the farm, probably a 9-year-old, and he's just a pleasantest little fellow. So he was out doing the rounds one morning, and he stopped to talk to one of the fellows that was working on one of the buildings there. And they had a wonderful little conversation. He reminds me of a lot of us. After the conversation was over, he said, "Oh, Brother Don, can you tell me where I was going before I stopped to talk to you?" And it's kind of the case. There's not enough direction. Focus. I hear the Lord saying, focus on the high calling, on the purpose. And I would suspect that the day that our focus and our purpose and our attention is so directed, a lot of problems that bother us now would just vanish away. I have another question for you this morning. Probably a question that you wouldn't have thought of if I hadn't brought it up. But I think it's in keeping with some of the word that's coming forth. And I think it's a pertinent question. And I'd like to ask you this morning, even though you would never have mentioned it, why doesn't God use volunteers? Now, you weren't thinking about that, were you, this morning? And the immediate response by a lot of people is, He does use volunteers. I'm one of them. Well, just stick around. Because I do think it's important to answer that question, because it's the basis and the root of a lot of people's misunderstandings about the Lord. And a lot of misunderstanding about their walk in God. And why it isn't effective. Because they have this concept that God's program is based on volunteers. I'll tell you what His program is based on. I don't believe it's based on volunteers. Why doesn't God use volunteers? The reason? Everything with God is by invitation only. You want proof of that? I can tell by your doubting eyes. And I want to tell you something about His invitation. It's going to mean more to us as we come to the full awareness of how valuable the invitation of God is to us. I think one of our another problem we have is that we don't value the invitation that God's given us enough. In Revelation chapter 19, we'll discover that everything is by invitation. Chapter 19, verse 9. He said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called. Called. Anybody God uses, he calls. He doesn't operate any other way. And I want to tell you early on, one of the serious problems that we could well face today, and there could be someone in this place who faces such a problem, they don't appreciate. Let's say we don't appreciate. We haven't appreciated fully, totally our calling in God. That could be a very serious problem in this place. That there are those among us who do not appreciate as fully as they should their calling in God. That's why people can go away and discard and discount and discredit the most marvelous thing that has ever happened to them in the world. The God of heaven has called them to be his own. Now, I'm believing by the Spirit today that we'll have a greater appreciation to go on through for our calling in God. It's the only reason we're here this morning. There is no other reason why any of us would be in this building except there's been an appreciation to the call of God on our lives. That's the only reason we're here. We would have gone long ago. We would have been gone long ago. Because we appreciate the invitation of God. And he says, that's a blessed thing. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it goes on to underline this and footnote it. These are the true sayings of God. In Matthew, it's good to support some of these things substantially. In Matthew chapter 22, we're talking about the culmination, the Mary's Supper of the Lamb. And in Matthew 22, a companion kind of reference to this all, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king, second verse of chapter 22. Which made a marriage for his son. I believe we're talking about the marriage of the Lamb. We're talking about a choice bride that we heard about last night, that the Lord is jealous of. And a bride that he's expecting to remain chaste, pure, virgin in spirit and in morality and in heart. This is talking about such a... Notice what is said when this marriage is to take place. Verse 3 says, and he sent forth his servants to call them. And he goes further, so you know that this is by invitation, to call them that were bidden, who were given invitations. And God put so much premium on the invitation to this marriage that he doesn't give up easily. And this is why some people are mistaken about how much opportunity they have and how much time God will give them, is because he has been persistent in his invitation to those who have been called. But he does finally give up, and it's described here. Verse 4 says, go forth. He sent forth other servants. Maybe he felt like the first servants weren't effective enough. That's why you've heard a line of ministry over the years with different temperaments, different personalities, different gifts, different abilities, a different way to present the word, he has sent other servants so that you might have another way of hearing the same word. He sent other servants to them that were bidden. Verse 4, again he sent forth servants, other servants. Tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner, everything is ready, please come. Got all kinds of refusals, tragic refusals, people too busy, people with other things to do, people to see, places to go, things to do. A lot of important things we could do, but nothing more important than answering an invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We have put a lot of things in wrong perspective and wrong priority. This is the most important thing. And in this chapter, he sends out others. And down in verse 9, he says, go therefore into the highways and byways. And I want to tell you something, even in this hour, when those who have been bidden won't come, those who were intended to be in the wedding refuse to come, it's still, strangely enough, it's still the invitation. You'd think he'd say, he'd just put up a sign, you know, you all come? He says in verse 9, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid, give them an invitation. Everything is by invitation. Everything that God does is by calling. That's why you're here this morning. But the danger may be that you do not fully appreciate your calling in God. Why it's so important to hear his voice. We haven't had a convention that I ever remember where that theme wasn't stressed. God is calling. Thought of the years ago in pastoring, you know, and always at the conclusion of the meeting, Jesus is earnestly, tenderly calling. Calling you home. Calling today. And brethren, it's still true. The Holy Spirit is brooding over this place. The Holy Spirit is in this place. And he's calling. He's calling you, and he's calling me. A gentle little voice, not always that big, just a nudge, but consistent and persistent. Thank you, Lord, for such a thing. If we only knew how fortunate and blessed we were this morning to have the voice of God calling us, to have God brooding over this crowd year after year after year. We'd take it or leave it, as we heard last night. Blase over this whole thing. Oh, God of heaven. We'd only pinch ourselves if we only knew. We would pinch ourselves this morning and say that we're the most fortunate people on the planet Earth today. That God called us. Matthew 23. Send his servants and call them. Matthew 10, notice how the workers came to him one by one, always in the same way, by invitation. Chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called, that's God's style. That's God's style. When he had called unto him his 12, every one of them. Mark 1, you know that some are going to come into the kingdom when others have forfeited their place? It's not that somebody can take your place. It's just that the place you could have had will remain empty be people in this place that God has brooded over and called to them to give their lives to Him and the basic, elementary, accepting Jesus business. And many have come and gone and never really taken care of totally giving their lives to Jesus in old-fashioned salvation. You could well be here this morning. You've never given it consideration. You just came with some of your family. This was kind of a nice place, and you just had Sunday morning to do something. Well, you got in the wrong place, brother, sister. Because the Holy Spirit is brooding over this place, and He's dealing with hearts, and there's some of you haven't made a commitment to God in your lifetime. Come and gone, taken it or left it, decided how much you were going to give of yourself, how much of your commitment. And He's dealing with you this morning, and your time is running out. Our time is running out of how long we will have to make total and absolute commitment to God. You're here and your basic elementary conversion experience has never really happened. You've never really had your sins forgiven. You've never really repented. You've never really changed your heart and life. He's brooding over you this morning. He's dealing with you this morning. And I would encourage you after this service, if you are such a person, on your own, by your own volition, not while we sing softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. No, you come because something has smitten your heart and something has convicted you, and you have decided you don't really know Jesus as Lord and personal Savior. That's why a lot of people are having problems. It's not a clean-cut conversion. It's not a real change from their old life. They haven't made an about face. This is not a bad time to talk salvation conversion. It's a good time to talk about that. Because we're still in the process of being saved. And you could have been around here all these years. You could have been one of the first ones. Yet you know down in your heart this morning as the Holy Spirit deals with you, you haven't really come clean. You haven't really come totally forward. You're reserving, holding back. You've got plans. In Matthew chapter 10, it's interesting the response of these particular people. And I wonder if the response is adequate in some people's lives. It's Mark chapter 1, please. Mark chapter 1. Notice the response. And then compare your own. I'm going to do the same this morning. I hope you never get the impression that some of us think we have it made. That some of us think that we have special priority in this situation. That we have exemptions that the other people don't. You know, we have more crisis. As Brother Stan said as he closed the meeting last night, there is a great perilousness that sets upon the people of God because we're so close to the end of the race. I guess I would have to admit that I do enjoy watching races. I do enjoy track events. And it's magnificent to see the total commitment and the total training and the regime that some people put themselves through. It was amazing that some runners gave themselves totally and completely for 4 years for a 10-second event. I'll tell you what we ought to be considering is giving our total life and all our years for a split-second event. In the twinkling of an eye, in an instant. To be ready for that moment to give ourselves totally and completely. Listen to the response in Mark chapter 1. Verse 17, Jesus said, "Come ye after me." By invitation. You're not going to slip in on somebody else's commitment. You're not going to slip in on a family, traditional family, Christian household. You're going to come by yourself, alone, on your commitment. Listen to this. He said, come after me. And down in verse 20, it says, straightway he called them, and they left their ship. They left their hired servants, and they went after him. And after him, I think I can honestly say, even though I'd served the Lord a lifetime practically, before I knew about this message, marvelous end time truths and the revelation God was pouring out to the world and to a people, I think I can say this morning honestly and be judged by you, I did run straightway. I did. I just knew that this was what I was born for. This was what my life was all about. This is why I came into the world. To be so blessed and so privileged that I might be called to go with a remnant people, to go with a holy brideship company. Be part of all that. It's been the joy of my life. I've tried to run ever since. With great excitement. Straightway. I think I did go straightway. Sister Nathalie, I sold out, cashed in, burned up bridges, and went straightway. Straightway. Oh God, thank you for such a call. Thank you for such a call. Luke reports it like this. It's just good to rehearse it. Maybe it'll get in deeper. Maybe something will work deeper into our spirit this morning. And if nothing else happens from this word, we'll know why God wants us to listen. Why it's so very important for him that we hear him. We might give him the proper response. In Luke chapter 5, verse 11, Jesus came out to them, and when they took their ships to the land, listen, when they took their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. The reason some are having a difficulty in doing this is they have not forsaken all. It's that simple. We're instructed in the word, it's a very dangerous thing to not forsake all, because a little weight and a little sin could beset us in the critical time of the race. The end of the race is the most critical time of the race. It is laden with jeopardy. You know, you ran well. What hindered you? You know, we're constantly instructed in the word that there is a danger that we might be distracted or attracted. It doesn't make any difference. There's a myth about a runner just like us. Obviously typed after the Bible. The whole thing was this man, and a brilliant runner, a great mystical runner. And the temptation was that as he raced toward the finish, golden apples were thrown in his path. And the tempter was believing that if this racer could be distracted, and notice the apple. Notice the lure. Notice the net. Notice the snare. They might just stop to scoop up one. Break their stride. And rule themselves out of the race. Now I'll tell you, we don't see that the enemy is throwing every glitterous attraction and distraction in our face. And in our path today, we have a mistake. We don't understand the situation. These people went straightway. they forsook all. That's why we don't do well. That's why there's a hindrance, and that's why there's a hesitation, and that's why there's a great delay, is because we haven't forsaken all. But remember this, by invitation only. And the truth is, this morning, the most precious thing you have in your hands, in your life, in your experience, in the whole world, and in the whole earth, and in your whole lifetime, is your call in God. I would love to have us see that in a new and special way. The treasure that we have, unspeakable treasure, that caused one man to sell everything else. A merchant of pearls, loved pearls. Pearls are beautiful. In Singapore, I went into one of the merchants there in the body, and I wanted to buy a couple pearls for somebody. You know, they just about blew me away. Came out and put on the counter ropes of pearls. All kinds of prices. And I'm no merchant of pearls. I only wanted two that I could afford. Can you imagine the man who knew pearls, treasured pearls? He uses these similes and facts. He uses all of these types and shadows and analogies so that we might understand the value of what God gives us and every experience in Him. And He tells that the kingdom of God is like a merchant of pearls who sold everything else. Sold them all for the one pearl of great price. You know, the pearls are gateways. And you don't have to receive this as absolute doctrine. But at least just can let it apply this morning and then forgive me. But the city has great gateways and each one is a pearl. Am I right? Doesn't it say that every gate is a pearl? What I'd like to have you accept this morning, temporarily if you can't receive it permanently, is that the last gateway into God is a great pearl. And what that pearl of great price is simply you selling out to everything else. Pay everything, sell everything, cash it in. I don't know. I wonder if we'll get in there with any less kind of pain. Any less kind of pain. It's been repeated before, but it doesn't hurt. When Judge Thomas was put before the Senate committee, a man who aspired to the highest, one of the highest offices in the land, a judge on the bench of the Supreme Court, when he was going through his hearings, 103 days of hearings, he was just aspiring to a temporary, earthy kind of position. It doesn't have the real value that it once had, or it was intended to have. And here was his remark after going through 103 grueling days. He said, I never knew. I didn't realize it was going to cost this much.